are in the I cycle. I'm going to write a book about this someday. I'm just not going to tell you what the name of the book's going to be. No, you're going to have to wait and find out. I am so intrigued by this because it frustrates me to see people not coming full circle to the I, not coming full circle in the I cycle and to enjoy being what God made them. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. The I cycle brings us back full circle to I. Now, the I cycle, I want you to picture this. It's a circle. We might call it the I circle. It starts, picture a circle, and at the 12 o'clock position on top, you have I. That's where everybody starts. But this is the old Adam I. This is the I of the old creation. I'm going to explain to you how that changed. Now, at the 3 o'clock position, you have I and God. We talked about what that was. It's the Christian stage. Now, at the 6 o'clock position on the circle, you have God and I. Some progress being made here, but it's still the fact that you're giving permission to, for God to do things in your life. Now, at the 9 o'clock position of the circle, we have God. This is where most of us are, where we recognize the sovereignty of God. We bow down to Him. He's operating all things in accord with the counsel of His will. But many of us are stopped here, and we are afraid to come back to the 12 o'clock position and use the pronoun I again. We're back at the pronoun I, but having traveled this route, it is a completely different I. It is now the I of you recognizing yourself in accord with the new creation. God's sovereignty eventually leads us to the place where we actually realize that we are now His handiwork. Before, we thought we were our own handiwork. Now, it's still us. We're still in the world, aren't we? Yeah. Your name is still on your driver's license, is it not? Yeah, mine says Martin Zender. I'm still me, but now I can talk comfortably about me, and other people might misunderstand this. I know, and they do. They do misunderstand it. Martin, you put your name out there everywhere. Yes, because that's my name. But the people who are afraid of this, the people who shy away from this, have not come to the new creation. I want to bring us back here. That's where I'm pushing us. I'm pushing us past this religious prohibition that has a lot of the God and I left over in it. And we're taking us to the new I of the new creation. We are His handiwork and His achievement. For that, I'm going to go to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, for His achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. The chief phrase there, His achievement are we. Are we? You see, we're not disappearing. We're not going away. We're not a vapor. We're not a non-entity. So many people do stumble with the personal pronouns, but not Paul. Paul did not stumble with them. He was not afraid to use the word I, and we're going to see this. This is because the mature believer recognizes that their life is Christ, His achievement. Their life is Christ, and therefore, they have no difficulty now using the personal pronoun. The problem for people hearing this is they don't know whether you are the pre-Calvary I, the pre-New Creation I, or the post-New Creation I. I suppose they could eventually tell if they hear your doctrine. I did this, I did that. That could go either way. You see, we don't know for sure. We know what we're talking about, and the people who know us ought to know better that when we use the pronoun I, or I'll just use myself as an example. When I use the pronoun I, people who know me ought to know from my teaching, from what I hold concerning being crucified with Christ, Romans 6, being His achievement, Ephesians 2, and other verses we're going to look at, they should know that I'm nothing in myself. I've come to my own death, Romans 6. I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. Going to go to that verse in Galatians, yet no longer I. So they should know better, but some of them don't. And so I'm constantly fending off this crazy, primitive accusation. Martin, you think it's all about you. And really, they're exposing their own hearts. Since they don't apparently know me, what this does do, it has helped me to know them. This is where they're coming from, because they can't use the pronoun I with any degree of comfort, because they have not come to a practical realization of the new creation. So this argument against me using I really reflects on the accuser and not on me, because I know myself, and apparently they don't know me. I thought they did. If anybody's read my writings, listened to my audios, watched my videos, they should know that I have no confidence in the flesh. Living in me is Christ, and I've given up. Listen to this. I have so given up on the old humanity that I can use the word I without associating it with the old humanity. I can't even go back in my mind to people who say, are you sure you're giving Jesus Christ first place in your life? I don't even understand that question anymore. I really don't, because it assumes that I am somehow distinct and separate from this Christ life, that somehow my old humanity is still alive and I'm wrestling with it. I'm trying to put it to death. Stab the old humanity. Here it comes. It's raising its ugly head. No, it died. It died. So I don't even understand this concern. Are you sure Jesus is first place in your life? What does that mean? It's like separating a day. It's like I have to sit and think, let's see, is Jesus, am I giving him the pilot seat of my airplane? It's like setting aside a day to pray. Have I prayed to Jesus today? The National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May. Have you prayed today? I pray. I don't even understand that. I pray every day. Every breath is a prayer. The Spirit inside me groans with inarticulate groanings, with words that I don't understand. Did you worship God today? In other words, did you go to a place of worship on Sunday? What does that even mean? How can I set aside a day to worship God when my entire being throbs with worship toward God? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. If I'm alive, then I'm in Christ. Then it's Christ in me. Separating it is primitive to me. And again, I've gotten to the place where I've been thinking this way for so long that I just throw out these pronouns. I did this. I gave that person information. They came to the Word because I gave it to them. Wait, what do you mean you gave it to them? I'm going to give you examples of this actually happened to me recently. And again, I just freely throw this around because I'm so comfortable knowing that I died and living in me is Christ. Not everybody is that comfortable with it. Most people can't understand the opposite. They don't understand what I'm telling you about, and maybe you're one of them. So I'm trying to bring you to this wonderfully liberating place where you no longer have to be so self-absorbed and self-obsessed. Yes, you are actually self-obsessed to worry about using I, to worry about how you're going to look if you say, I did this, or I did that, or I saved this person. You're going to worry. If you're worried about that, then you are the actual self-obsessed one, not me. I've blown past the God phase, and I'm in back at 12 o'clock on the clock. I'm back on the I, but it's a new I. Now, going to give you some more verses here. Romans 6:8. This is a good one. Where are we? This is part three. Yeah, this is part three of the I cycle, based on Clyde Pilkington's awesome article. And I'm going to write a book about this, so wait for it. The I Cycle by Clyde Pilkington, Volume 16 of Bible Student's Notebook, Issue 389. Now, I am in Romans 6:8. Now, if we died together with Christ, we believe that we shall be living together with Him. Wait a minute. How'd this we survive? Now, if we died together with Christ, now I should no longer see the pronoun we, because Paul's saying we died together with Christ. And that's the truth of Romans 6. We were crucified together with Him. So how in the world, if we don't exist anymore, is He now referencing the pronoun, the plural pronoun, we again? If we died with Christ, we believe, apparently we're still alive. Woohoo! We believe that we shall be living together with Him also. Where's this other we coming from? This is the new we. It's the new I. It survived. How did it survive? Well, in a sense, it didn't, because the old we, the old I, died. And now, living in you is Christ, and it's the new one. It's the new we. You get that? In France, you would say oui. We get it, Monsieur Martin. Martin Zender, you have made this extremely sensible to us. We, it's the new we. You have brought us the new we. Yeah, je comprends, monsieur. I used to think all these French women, when I was in Paris, my senior year in high school, they were all telling me that they loved me, and I didn't realize it because they said, je t'adore. And I thought, which is French for I love you, je t'adore. And I thought they were telling me to shut the door. And I just turned around and I shut every door. All these women followed me. Jutador! Jutador! And instead of being flattered and you know, I slammed every door in sight. This one. I was a mess back then. I'm fine now. Just fine. Where are we? Let's go to Colossians 2:20. Here's another one. If then you died together with Christ from the elements of the world, and that's true because we just found out in Romans 6, you died together with Christ from the elements of the world. Why, as living in the world, are you subject to decrees? This is cool, isn't it? It's amazing. We have two you's in here. If you died, and again, how can we bring that you back? Well, we do. Paul does. If you died, then why are you subject to decrees? You still live, but you shouldn't be subject to decrees anymore. Before you died, that is, before you realized your crucifixion with Christ on the cross, you were subject to all these decrees. You were, but now you aren't. It's the same me. What's the difference? The difference is I've come to apprehend my crucifixion with Christ. I've come to apprehend I'm a new creation, and I've come to apprehend that this I, this personal pronoun, has come full circle now, and I can use it knowing that I'm no longer bragging, I'm no longer boasting in myself, because I've come to that comfortable, wonderful, deep understanding that living in me is Christ, and to live is Christ, and He is living in me. He is manifesting His life in me. What a great truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Going to show you how this happened in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, here it is. Let's start with 16. So that we, from now on, are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless, now we know Him so no longer. All right, I got a revelation for you. This not only applies to Christ. See, what Paul's doing here is he's saying, if some of you who he's writing to knew Jesus Christ according to flesh, I don't want you to know Him that way any longer, because that man is the Nazarene, the humble Galilean, the Nazarene who walked around with sandals, very humble, a minister of the circumcision. Now, we're not going to know Him according to flesh anymore. We're not acquainted with Him in that way. Yet, even if we have known Christ according to flesh, we know Him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. The primitive passed by, lo, there has come new. And what I'm telling you is, I want you to consider yourself in the same sense. In other words, no longer consider yourself in accord with flesh. But Martin, I'm still in flesh. I know that you're still in flesh. But I'm saying, don't consider yourself that anymore. This is where you walk by faith, not perception. You're not supposed to see yourself like this. That's why you, with confidence, if you have the faith to apprehend this, if God has given you the faith, you can say, I have faith in Jesus Christ. I came to Christ. Now, when Christians say this, we know what they mean. They mean it is them. They mean they believed, therefore they're saved. We know what they mean by it, but we mean something completely different by it when we use these pronouns, because we have come the route of 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 17. The Christians haven't. There, if anyone is in Christ, now there's a new creation. The primitive passed by. The primitive is when you are afraid to use that pronoun for fear that somebody would think you are all full of yourself and not very humble. It's this whole Christian sham, this whole Christian whitewash routine of looking humble. And again, if you're past that, you can use that glorious pronoun. I see that I'm going to have to extend this. It's going to become a series. The next part, I haven't even gotten to some of this glorious example of the Apostle Paul. I love this. You are not going to believe how many times the Apostle Paul used the pronoun I and me. Can't wait to tell you about it. And we're going to go to what to me is the ultimate verse on this, which is Galatians 2:20. This is going to make so much sense to you. Well, you know me. I make sense for a living.